next speaker is Dr. Lynn Herman, who's an assistant professor of public health and health education at Northern Illinois University. And her talk is on fitness of apps, an examination of mobile fitness app usage over 5 months.
Thank you all for coming. Do we need to stretch or move or shake our legs out or something? Go ahead, just do it. Go for it. This is a public health conference, and we have some fitness activities. I don't know if you guys were aware. 12:15, 2:15, and 4:15 out by registration. I'm doing Zumba today at 2:15. So if you're around registration, please join me.
I'm doing 4:15.
Okay, cool. What are you doing?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
It might be office chair exercises if there are chairs.
Okay. Okay. So there you go. There are lots of opportunities, and plus the weather's gorgeous, so get outside too. All right. So this is a pilot study of an examination of three mobile fitness apps over 5 months. That I have nothing to disclose. I'm not going to let you know the names of the apps I use because I didn't get any support from them, and nor do I want support from them. So I have nothing to disclose with that. Learning objectives, I'm hoping that we can actually from this whole group of presentations talk about what draws people to technology, how can we sustain the behavior and why is it not being sustained, and then also some means of increasing the effectiveness of apps and other fitness technologies. Okay, that's me. I'm a fitness professional as well as a professor. That's what led me to become a professor is my background in fitness. So for the last 12 years, I've seen people and their search for fitness, and many people do not ever find it. And technology is giving us some hope that we could get there. So I wanted to look at it a little more deeply. So fitness apps are readily available if you have a smartphone. They tend to be free or really low cost. So that's really beneficial for most of us. The purposes of apps, sometimes it's about setting goals, sometimes it's about tracking your activity, whether you input it yourself or it does it automatically. Some give you great workout ideas, and sometimes you can share your progress with people in your own social groups or social media. Yet they're still not really well understood, these fitness apps. There are thousands of them now, and every time I go and look in the app store and search, there are just hundreds more every few months, so they're really cropping up all over. But we don't really know quite how they work and if they're working. So my study looked at three different fitness apps over a 5 month period. I did two waves of data collection, and again, this is a pilot study, so I don't have super huge numbers, but 64 people started in the study, and I had a response rate of 73.4% by the end of the study. So 5 months, I still had a pretty decent response rate. So the apps were free, downloadable via Android or iOS, and they were based on BJ Fogg's functional triad, which, if you're not familiar with it, is basically saying that technology has three main purposes. One is it serves as a medium, which it means it provides an experience. The app I used for this was kind of like a fitness hub of different activities. The next is that technology functions as a tool. And for this, the definition is that it increases your capability. In this case, for the fitness app that was selected, it was pre-made workouts and kind of guiding you through certain exercises, showed you the visual of it so that you knew how to do the exercise properly. And the last is the technology functions as a social actor, which means it creates a relationship. Social media, right? That was the big connection there. So that's what the three apps I selected off of, using some advice of some fitness colleagues to kind of help me select these three. It was a pre-test, post-test design using the theory of planned behavior, which fits really well with this and exercise in particular. So the constructs of that include attitude about the behavior, and if you engage in the behavior, what is the result? Subjective norms, looking at peer influences, or your perception of peer influences more. And then also perceived behavioral control. So by engaging in the behavior, what barriers do you face, and are you willing to overcome those barriers? So I took a look at these constructs with your normal exercise routine, and then also exercising with the app, the fitness apps. Just to add to, all the people in the study considered themselves regular exercisers, and in the self-report exercised at least 4 times a week at moderate or vigorous physical activity. I had people age range 18 to 64 with the average age of 44.5. In addition, I didn't just let them go for 5 months and then see how they did. I checked in at about month 1, 3, and 5 to see how they were using the apps and then also what they interpreted the use of the apps was. So I did not say, this app is a medium, this app is a social actor. I didn't tell them that. That was kind of up to their own discretion. Additionally, I did a focus group at the end, so I have a little bit of qualitative data to add to the quantitative. All right, those are some references there. So here it is. This is the number of participants over the 3 months. So check one was month one, check two, month three, check five, or check three, month five. The different apps are color-coded there, so you can see there at the first check-in, we had a pretty significant number of people using the apps. And then at month 3 and then month 5, you can see there's a decline there. This is times per month. So how many times in that month did you use the app? So the average was about 1.83. And then again at month 3, month 5, we had a decline. And lastly, minutes per use. Same general kind of chart that you've seen in the last 3 slides and then also from our other presenters. There just seems to be this decline of technology over time. So in summary, in terms of what was statistically significant there, for app 1 and 2, the usage per month and the minutes per use, there was the decline that was statistically significant from check 1 to check 2 and then also check 1 to check 3, but no change from check 2 to check 3 because it was so low already, right? For app 3, that app never really got the height of use for compared to the other two. I don't know if that was because it was the last app and people just didn't care anymore, or because they really didn't like it at all from the get-go, which I think I have some qualitative data that backs that theory up. And then same for minutes per use. You'll see the decline from check 1 to check 2, check 1 to check 3, and then not from check 2 to check 3, because it was so low already. All right, so what I wanted to find out first was comparing exercise to exercise with apps just in the pretest. So what was the comparison, and then also at the post-test exercise compared to exercise with the apps. Exercise with the apps had statistically significant lower mean scores compared to exercise without apps across all variables. So attitude was just automatically lower, just lower attitude, not as positive, apps aren't as useful, apps aren't as beneficial compared to just exercise like I normally exercise without technology. For subjective norms, let's see, there was also peers don't influence my activity as much as they do for just regular exercise without technology. Perceived behavioral control, just same thing, just lower. It doesn't really matter. I think I can exercise without these apps. And then behavioral intention was also less. So now looking at pretest to post-test exercise without apps, so just exercise. How was your exercise before the study? How was it after? No technology. There were no statistically significant changes in the means. So exercise attitude stayed positive. Subjective norms, your peers influencing, stayed the same. They continued to be an influence. Perceived behavioral control, people still feel like they could engage in exercise. Behavioral intention was up still at around 4 to 5 times per week. So this is no change in exercise over the 5 months. So now let's take a look at exercise with technology. So there was a decline in the usefulness of apps over 5 months. So it went really from useful to more of a neutral attitude. So I wouldn't say it was not useful, but they thought pretest that these apps would be really useful, beneficial to them, and then they kind of, after the 5 months, not really, just they're kind of there. They could help, but not really. The other categories for attitude included wise to foolish, beneficial, harmful, enjoyable, unenjoyable. So those all stayed somewhat neutral. In terms of subjective norms, there was a decrease in peer influence of regular exercise using the apps, and then also a decrease in peer approval for using the apps. So again, looking at this theory in particular, it's your perception of peer influence. So I'm thinking this had a little bit to do with, well, I don't like these apps anyways, so what do I care what my friends think if I use them or not? The other two constructs to review, perceived behavioral control. So regular exercise using the apps went from a perception of easy to difficult. Okay, so over the 5 months, people at the beginning thought, okay, these apps, they're going to be easy to use, no problem, I'm going to use them. By the end of the five-month study, they were considered difficult to use. There was also a decrease in reliance on using the apps to engage in regular exercise. In other words, I don't need these apps to engage in physical activity. I can do it without technology. Lastly, behavioral intention. At pretest, people said they were going to use the apps 3.754 times per week, so about four times per week. At the post-test, the inclination to use the apps was 0.867. And according to my focus group data, I'm never using these apps again. The other thing that I measured was perceived fitness, because I did not have the means to go and measure people's body comps and do all that stuff. So it was perceived fitness scale. I measured cardiovascular strength, cardiovascular fitness, strength, endurance, flexibility, and body comp. Those all remained the same over the 5 months. So there was no change in fitness perception over 5 months, which I think is pretty good, actually. Here's a data sampling for the qualitative measures. I did a thematic analysis, and you can see there, app one was the medium, so that was kind of the hub of all things exercise. What people liked about it was different workout ideas, and you could build your own workout. What they disliked was time-consuming, difficult to navigate, and the third one would have been too many emails. And then the purpose, they thought, was keeping track of workouts and creating and setting up workouts, which I think is pretty darn close to what BJ Fogg thought a medium would be. App 2 was considered the tool, so that was kind of like these prefab workouts. Good variety of workouts, excellent in terms of the visual and description of exercises. They didn't like it because with the free version of the app, it limited how many workouts you could access. Time-consuming and difficult to figure out. They perceived the purpose as encouragement, motivation, and convenient workouts. And lastly, app 3 was our social actor. What people liked was the variety of activities and then the reminders. There's a very fine line between how much is too much and how little is too little, and I don't think we've quite found the balance, but people do not like receiving daily emails about getting up and moving. What they disliked about App 3 was they were not interested in buddies and support groups, especially from strangers, which is what the app was promoting. It was also difficult to use. Notice a trend there, difficult to navigate, time-consuming to figure out, and difficult to use. Those are reasons why people don't use apps. The purpose of App 3 was to share progress through social media, which they got, and then the second most common answer was, I'm just not sure. I don't know what this app is trying. I don't get the social connection to me actually being more active. So really interesting data I got from the qualitative piece. Okay, so some limitations of this study. The dropouts, which happened primarily in the first month, so that was similar to Ralph's presentation as well, that big drop-off at the beginning. A lot of people, this was done via survey email, they would just email back and say, I'm just not using the apps. And I was like, can you please enter that data into the survey so that I have it? So that was a big thing, a disconnect between zero is data to me. You're not using the app is data to me. Technology-minded people engaged in the study, so because they were self-selected, I can't force people to use apps and download them to their phone if they don't want to. But that means people that maybe were a little more interested in technology engaged in the study. And then the other thing is all participants were physically active, so if we were to redo the study in a less active population, I'm wondering what the results would be for that. So there are some future directions definitely for me to head with this. So concluding statements, app usage significantly decreased over 5 months in both times per month and minutes per usage. Fitness perception did not change significantly over the 5 months. Exercising without apps, so without technology, there were no statistically significant changes in any of the constructs, so attitude, subjective norms, perceived behavioral control, and behavioral intention. And then we did see statistically significant changes in all constructs for exercise with apps, neutral attitude on useless to useful, decrease in peer influence and approval, perception went from easy to difficult, and then behavior intention, 0 on the focus group and 0.8 on the survey. So points, places to go from here. App usage should be researched before new apps are developed. Yeah, right. because it's big money, right? It's really big money, and people are buying them and using them for a little bit and then toss them away. So, but in an ideal world. Policies should be developed to guide development of apps that should be based in health behavior research. So using health behavior theory, this is not surprising. I see a lot of people nodding their heads. It's not being done. So this is a direction we need to head. And then also, policies should be developed for the users of technology, not just the technology companies or individuals developing the apps. We need to develop guidelines for how we as consumers of the products can differentiate between the different apps and different technologies so that we're smarter about the apps that we get and the technologies we get. We're not going to really do discussion, so.
Okay, yeah.
So there you go. That's me. I like that little thing, so I put it up there. Because it, no matter how much great technology we have, it is going to take a T-Rex to get some people moving. So thank you for listening, and we can take questions later.